T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joining us now, I think from up in Seattle, is Brady Henderson, covers the Seattle Seahawks for ESPN. Good morning, Brady. How are you, man?
Wait, houseboat or not? That's what we need to know, Brady.
Yes, right. Houseboat right now. I'm not sure if this is the best place to be stuck in a quarantine situation, but I am a little bit removed from the people, just being on the water a little bit, so it's probably a little bit safer.
So now, can I ask, just a second, I ask where are the location? Are you on Lake Union, houseboat-wise? Are you on by the cut? Where are you at?
Undisclosed location on Lake Union. So,
undisclosed. Okay, yeah, that's good. That's smart. We don't want to target you. That's good.
So, okay, I've got so many questions about houseboat living. This is going to be, well, we had these questions the last time you joined us and you mentioned that you were on the houseboat. Now, you said not good for quarantine. Why? Is it just tight quarters, or are there other aspects of houseboat living that make it non-conducive to a quarantine?
Well, no, I mean, I've got enough room here. It's a 49-foot boat. And there's probably more room than there would be in like a one bedroom apartment or a studio apartment. But, it's really just the kind of isolation. I don't have as much, human interaction, with people that I would maybe at like, if I lived in an apartment or a condo, which I guess that's not a bad thing, during this time. It just does get a little bit lonely on the boat, so I'm trying not to go crazy, but I know that there's people who have it a lot worse than I do, so I really have nothing to complain about.
Okay, well, then that just says we're going to randomly call you at times throughout the show just to check in on you, make sure you're okay, whether you're ready for it or not.
Please do. Right?
Okay, perfect.
Please do.
Let's talk about the Seahawks in this offseason. First, where we should start, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, free agent remaining is Jadeveon Clowney. Do you have any insight of kind of where Seattle is at with Jadeveon Clowney, who played so well for them once he showed up?
Yeah, they want to re-sign him, and they need a guy like that for their defensive line. But, they're taking the patient approach, knowing that he's asking for more money right now. And the number that I've heard, and the number I think that other people have reported too, is, at least $20 million. Specifically, the number I heard was $21 million. And there's been a lot of reports that it's around there or north of $20 million. And the Seahawks don't want to pay him that, and they realize that nobody else in the NFL wants to pay him that right now. And so they are just kind of waiting and hoping that the price goes down, and hoping that another team in the meantime doesn't come in and up their offer for him. So I think he's very much still in play for them, and I think that there's a better chance of him ending up back with the Seahawks now, or it seems like there is a better chance of that happening now than there was before the negotiating window began, just because I was of the mind that an edge rusher like that, guys of that caliber, when they get to free agency, there's a lot of times teams are lining up around the block to sign those guys. And I just thought that his price tag would get to a point where the Seahawks would not be comfortable going there and he would sign with another team. But now it looks like they might be able to get him back at a reasonable price. And if his market isn't nearly what he thought it was going to be, and he has to take a one-year deal, I think the Seahawks would make a lot of sense. Go back to a scheme that you're familiar with, especially now that there could be a shortened offseason. Do you really want to put yourself in a position where you're signing a one-year deal to try to, recoup your value and try to put yourself in a position for a better payday? Do you want to be going to a new team where you're going to have to learn a new system in possibly a shortened offseason? So I guess the bottom line is I think there's a good chance that he ends up back with the Seahawks more so than I did at the start of free agency.
Brady, what do you think is the bigger influence on why his market is low? Is it potentially him coming out and saying, I want to go to a contender and not taking the Ndamukong Suh route where you chase money in Miami and you're miserable, or the fact that he's coming off an injury? There's been a little bit of injury history, having the sports hernia surgery. What do you think is holding up the numbers of why he's not getting those big offers?
Yeah, I imagine it didn't really help him when he said that right after the divisional round loss to the Packers. I imagine, you know, when he heard that, I just pictured his agent cringing and saying, no, stop saying that. But I think the bigger things are the fact that, and this is sort of me just guessing here, but the fact that, you know, he wants more money than I think the sack production, that then more teams would see fit given the sack production. And we all know how much of an impact he can have on games. We saw him take over that Monday night game against the 49ers. The pressure rate is there. According to ESPN's pass rush win rate, he was fifth in that metric last season. But he's never been a double-digit sack guy, and I think that $20 million is too far to go for teams that they see, you know, Von Miller, they see, you know, the guys who are getting paid, Khalil Mack, the guys who are getting paid that much money, Frank Clark. Those guys are getting the sacks, and he's not getting the sacks. And I think another part of it too, I don't think the, you know, the situation going on with teams not being able to bring guys in for physicals, I think that is working against him too, because, you know, he's a guy with enough of an injury history. He's coming off the core muscle surgery, had some other injury issues last year and throughout his career. And that's a guy that, you know, before a team would want to cut him a giant check and commit to him for several years, they'd want to, you know, they'd want their own doctors to get their hands on him to make sure that he checks out physically, and they're not able to do that. And the last point I'll make there is, you know, try to consider this from Clowney's perspective. He was the number one high school recruit in the country. He was the number one pick in the NFL draft. And so he has been very highly regarded his entire adult life. And he's had to wait six seasons to reach unrestricted free agency, whereas most guys, you know, become free agents by the end of their fourth season. So he's had to wait a long time to find out what his true market value is. And a guy who has been the man for as long as he has, I'm sure he thought there was going to be a way stronger market for him than there is. And that's probably a pretty difficult reality for him to accept.
Brady Henderson is our guest, ESPN Seahawks reporter. Now, staying on the defense side of the ball, that's not the only acquisition that could be made. They already have gone out, got Bruce Irvin back, and Quentin Dunbar. Now, Dunbar's an interesting one. For those that, can you just kind of fill in, he's a guy that his talent is through the roof, but he hasn't played a whole heck of a lot, especially last year.
Yeah, I believe he only became a starter a full-time starter in 2018, and I think he's missed 14 games over the past two seasons. Jeez. So he also was a guy who, you know, I believe he made it clear that he wanted a new deal. And so you can understand why a starting caliber guy who, you know, got four interceptions last season, you can understand why a guy, you know, that talented was available for a fifth-round pick. But I think that, you know, you have to wait and see. I haven't seen the guy play a ton. And the Seahawks haven't seen him play in their system yet. And that is kind of been, you know, they've had kind of mixed results as far as bringing in veteran cornerbacks from the outside. And the school of thought there is that the style of play that they have at cornerback, there's a very specific way that they play. It's called the step kick technique. And it's been hard for some guys, Kerry Williams in particular, to pick that up. Some veteran guys, it's been hard for them to pick that up. And so, you know, you got to wait to see how he plays in their system. But just in terms of a guy who fits their, you know, size, speed, specifications that they like, that could be a good deal for them. And they need cornerbacks who can take the ball away. They have not been very good at that in the post-Richard Sherman days at cornerback. And he's a guy who has shown that he can do that. So that could end up being a pretty big steal for them, the way that Quandre Diggs was. But, you know, you've got to wait and see how he fits into the system.
You know, jumping over to the offensive side of the ball, they lose George Fant. They give up Jermaine Ifedi, which I don't feel bad at all on that side. Jermaine Ifedi drove me insane as a watching someone. I know he had some upside. But moving on to this side of, could this be with Greg Olsen and adding Dorsett, could this be the best kind of receiving group that now you're going to see Russell Wilson start to have that talent. Did they address the right needs on offense right away, at least in the free agency side so far?
Yeah, they had to do something at tight end, and just with what's going on there. Will Dissly coming off his second major injury in as many seasons. So, you, when he's been healthy, he's been great. He's been a touchdown machine and really a revelation as a receiver, because the book on him coming out of college was that he was a blocker. But that's two major injuries in two seasons, so they had to do something there. They're bringing back Jacob Hollister as a restricted free agent. So that could be a very loaded tight end group, with the caveats, again, that, you know, Disley's injury situation and the fact that Greg Olsen's 35 years old. And if you look at the receiver core, there is a ton of speed there. They are Russell Wilson is going to have no shortage of fast wide receivers there, from Tyler Lockett to DK Metcalf. David Moore is another fast down the field threat, and Philip Dorsett ran a 4.33 40 at the combine, and have not seen the details on his 1 year contract. I cannot imagine that it's for a ton of money. And you know, before, I guess, you know, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I would have thought that if the Seahawks were going to find somebody to compete for that number three receiver spot, it would have been more likely, they would have been more likely to go that route in the draft, just because this is, you know, said to be potentially a historically deep draft for wide receivers. But, you know, consider this, the fact that there may be a shortened offseason, that probably hurts wide receivers, potentially hurts wide receivers as much as any position, because we know that that position has maybe the steepest learning curve of any position. And so, you know, a veteran guy like Philip Dorsett is going to be in potentially be in better position to come in and contribute right away than a draft pick. And so, you're going to see Philip Dorsett competing for that number three role along with David Moore. And maybe they still draft a wide receiver, but I think you've got to have that veteran guy in there just with what might happen with the fact that you may not be able to have a normal offseason.
You know, you got the more lenient rules around weed. Is Josh Gordon in the books? Is that in the cards for the Seattle Seahawks this offseason if he gets reinstated?
Yeah, maybe, but I think they are. That's so far away from becoming a reality that they couldn't afford to, you know, plan on having him back, just because, you know, that's not going to happen before free agency is done. It's not going to happen before the draft is done, and there's no guarantee that it might happen, that it will happen, you know, at all. And again, this is a guy that has had so many suspensions that even if he does get reinstated, you've got to consider it a very strong possibility that there's another slip up, and that's yeah. just kind of the unfortunate reality of a guy who, you know, has had as many of those, you know, drug suspensions as he has. And so I think that could be in play, but it's just, you know, they can't afford to sit around and count on that possibility.
With the running back situation with Carson and Penny coming off injuries, do they draft? I mean, obviously they're not going to overpay for running backs. I don't believe it. Is there any sort of, does Marshawn come back for one more, run it back? Or is this going to be, hey, we're going to find some young guys and we're going to be a committee again at the running back position?
Yeah, they've got to do something there. And John Schneider said as much, that they will be adding to that position. You know, Chris Carson has been great for, you know, when he's been healthy, but he's finished IR on two of his first three seasons, coming up on the last year of his rookie deal. Rashad Penny, it sounds like there's a very good possibility that he begins the season on PUP, in which case he'd have to miss the first 6 weeks. So, you know, maybe he doesn't have to miss that much time, but his availability for week one is in question. And so, yeah, they've got to make some moves there. It would not surprise me if they added, you know, a veteran on kind of a low cost deal, or at least a reasonable cost, and then drafted somebody, even maybe with an early pick, just because you've got to not only consider this season, but the long-term outlook at that position. And then as for Marshawn Lynch, I have always kind of been of the thought that if he comes back to the Seahawks, it would be under similar circumstances as last year, when it was sort of emergency situation. You know, you call on Marshawn Lynch and get him off his couch or get him off of whatever he was doing. And by the way, when you're, you know, being retired Marshawn Lynch, that kind of sounds pretty fun to me. It certainly sounds more fun than going through the grind of training camp just to be, you know, the second, third running back. So I don't think that he would have much interest in doing that. I think if he comes back, it's going to be in a situation where he is needed, and he is needed to be the number one guy.
We didn't really get any of our draft questions in, so we will be calling you back to check in with you periodically, man. Enjoy the houseboat. I hope that, you know, everything goes well on the boat. Stay safe and stay healthy, man.
Thanks, Brady.
I will, fellas, and enjoy your, I heard about your setup where you're all in different rooms there. That sounds pretty fun. So enjoy that and call me anytime.
All right. Thanks, man. Brady Henderson is ESPN Seahawks reporter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.